anybody had ever tried to help this man by inspiring him to stand up and walk on his own. And I can imagine he began to feel those bed soles begin to dry up. His withered leg became infused with life. His ankle bone began to receive a little strength. And for the first time in 30 long years, he just stood up and he took a step. I don't know if y'all can see him, but watch him now as he take that first step. He wobbles a little bit and he almost loses his balance. But hope got under one arm, faith got under the other, love got into one leg, grace got into the other leg, and he just took the second step. Then he took a third step, and the fourth step became easy. Oh, my brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter how long you've been down. If you're willing this morning, I tell you, God is able. Because Jesus is the help for the helpless. He's the hope for the hopeless and the way for the wandering. He's a light in dark places and a sure footing on shaky ground. I tell you, Jesus, he can help you and Jesus alone. And so let me try and close by saying that sin had deformed me. But thank God this morning that Jesus Christ has transformed me. Ain't God all right? I'm talking about Jesus, the Lamb of God, who takes away the sins of the world, who hung bled and died on an old rugged cross for your sins and mine. But it was bright early on Sunday morning that he got up from that grave with all power in heaven and earth in his hand. Y'all know him, don't you? Yeah, the same Jesus is walking through the Mount Olive Church. He's walking through this morning. He's walking by your row of helplessness, your row of hopelessness and unbelief. He's telling you to step out on faith in him that brings deliverance and leads the eternal life. And so what's it going to be this morning? Will you continue to lay down in hopelessness and business as usual? Or will you rise up by faith and receive a brand new life in Christ Jesus? Because he's waiting at your door. He's on the porch of your life. He's knocking on your door. Will you let him in this morning? I tell you, he's on the porch of your life, and he's knocking at the door of your heart. Will you answer this morning? If so, then get up out your seat and come to Jesus by faith, because he's waiting with open arms. He said, come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. He said, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly in heart, and in me you'll find rest, rest for your soul, because he's able to restore a backslider to fellowship. He's able to save a lost soul to the utmost. I tell you, he's able to heal a broken heart. He's able to lift up a bowed down head. He's able to save the vilest person this morning. No matter what you've done in your life, he's able to do anything but fail. For my God shall supply all I need according to his riches and glory in Christ Jesus. Ain't God all right? Let me ask you this morning, have you tried him for yourself? Won't he make a way out of no way? Won't he save your soul from a burning hell? Ain't God all right? I ought to have some witness here this morning who know that the Lord is able. He's able, I tell you, to do anything but fail. He's able, yes, he is, the hell to bring you back out of the pits. He's able to lift you out of the pits and place your feet on a solid foundation. He's able to give you joy in the midst of sadness. He's able, I tell you. Will you try him this morning? Oh, he's able. Yes, he is. Ain't God all right? If you know he's all right, let me hear you say yes. Say yes. I know he's all right. All right. All right. Yes, Lord. I tell you, he's on the porch of your life. And he's walking by. Yeah, your row of hopelessness, your row of unbelief, your row of helplessness. All you got to do is step out on faith. Yes, Lord. And he will give you.
We know your heart and spirit burned as you listened to our pastor, Dr. Carl Armstead, as he preached and taught the Word of God. Join us in our regular worship services on Sunday, 11 o'clock a.m., midweek service at 7 o'clock p.m. For additional information, phone the church at 337-392-0952. And join us again for an awesome Word of God next week at the same time.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting. All day.
Join us as we open our Bibles, hearts, and minds to be blessed by the Word of God as Dr. Joshua Joy Dara, Senior Pastor of Zion Hill Church Family, gives us insight into the gospel in plain English.
Same page that we don't know. And ladies and gentlemen, please permit me to remind you again and again, prayer is like a passport. In case you don't know, when your pastor came to this country, I could not enter this country without a passport. Passport is what gives me permission to enter into another country. Think of prayer like your passport. Prayer is God's giving you permission to leave the natural world and enter into the spirit world. You can't just jump into the spirit world without your passport. Prayer is your passport to move from the natural into the supernatural. If you get that, say amen. Prayer, ladies and gentlemen, is changing location from the physical to the spiritual. And when you're tired of struggling in this physical world, when you can't see your way clearly, it's good to know there is a way for you to cross over from the natural into the supernatural. Let me give you an example of how these things work. You don't have to wait until you're in trouble to get into the supernatural. You remember one day, Jesus was preaching and it was getting late. And so Jesus asked all the deacons, his disciples, say, okay, now your job is to feed these people. Oh, the deacons say, Houston, we got a problem. We ain't got no food. What do you mean we don't got no food? I do the preaching. Now you feed them. And now they say, well, Reverend, to be honest with you, the only thing we got around here is a little boy with 5 loaves and 2 fish. There's no way we can feed hundreds and thousands of people with 5 loaves and 2 fish. And the Bible said, Jesus said, bring those to me. And then he used his passport. Prayer. And he took those natural things. And before you realize it, he crossed over from the natural into the supernatural. And all of a sudden, 5 loaves and 2 fish became thousands of loaves and thousands of fish. The Bible said everybody got fed. 5,000 men. And then there was leftover, 12 baskets extra. What is the secret? You got to use your passport. Your passport in the spirit is prayer. It allows you to change location. It allows you to move from the natural into the supernatural. It allows you to move from the physical into the spirit world. All of a sudden, things that looks difficult in the natural becomes possible for you. If you receive that, shout amen. Amen. Please take note of this reality. If Jesus, the Son of God, had to pray in order to be able to tap into the spirit world, how much more you and me? That is why the songwriters say, oh, what peace we often forfeit. What needless pain we bear. You know why? Because we are too consumed trying to fix it on our own. We have a passport in our hand, but we fail to use it. Ladies and gentlemen, this is why in the book of St. Luke, chapter 11, verse number 1, the disciples came to Jesus Christ. The deacons are very smart. They say, we've noticed your secret. We see you every day. You steal away. You walk away from us. And you're gone for hours. And by the time you show up with power. So we want you to teach us how to pray. Because we've noticed prayer is your secret. Every time you went praying, you come back swinging. So we want you to teach us. And then, of course, he taught them how to pray. I remember a story. You all remember how he taught them about the Lord's Prayer. So one day, I called him Brother Baba. He was chatting with his friend. He said, you go to church every day, but I bet you don't know the Lord's Prayer. His friend said, of course I know the Lord's Prayer. Then Brother Baba said, well, if you can recite it from your memory, he said, I'll give you $10 of my hard-earned money. So his friend said, of course, I could use $10. So he started to say, now lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I should die Before I wake up, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Brother Baba said, that's wonderful. I didn't know you know the Lord's Prayer. He said, here's your $10. If you notice, both of them don't know nor have a clue. I will submit to you, ladies and gentlemen, the problem in the house of God today, we have a truckload of people who profess to be a Christian, but they don't know how to pray. I hate to say it, the real problem tormenting us is that we don't know how to get in touch with God. Many of us would rather call the preacher, pray for me. Well, I want you to be able to contact God for yourself. And then there's a truckload of other people. They know how to pray, but they pray safe prayer. I've seen that so many times among Christians. In their prayer, they are always politically correct. They pray safely. You come to them, you say, I have headache. I want you to pray for me. And they'll pray, Lord, heal my brother, if it's your will. They always leave little room to get out. So just in case you die, they say, well, I guess it's not the Lord's will. And as a result, both the so-called Christians and preachers and leaders of the church, because they are too busy trying to play safe, they stay defeated. I remember early this year, I looked at a couple, don't know them from Adam. They said, we watch you every day. But we have a problem. We don't have children. We've been believing God. We've tried everything. And I say, in the name of Jesus, this year, you're going to have your own child. See, that's not a safe prayer. Because now they have a date. Now they have a deadline. Now they have a calendar. What am I trying to tell you? If you're going to believe God, believe God. But as long as you're playing it safe, you'll be just dancing around and you'll be watching other people succeed when you only read about it. I never will forget one year I was a rookie preacher in this house. I said, nobody's going to die this year. I don't leave room for debate or discussion. You are not ready for prayer until you are willing to step out of the boat. One year I brought people to this piece of property here. It was nothing but grass. I said, this is your church. We're going to have church right here today. And we have no dime to our name. No loan, no savings, no building fund. What am I trying to tell you? If you want to learn to contact God for yourself, stop playing it safe. So, brother pastor, okay, I get it. So how do I reach God? For myself. Well, I just read something profound to you this morning. The book of 1 John chapter 5, verse number 14. Hallelujah. I tell my folks, my workplace, don't ask me to pray unless you're ready to believe. I say, if you all just want us to play the game, I can play along with you. But when you get ready to believe God with me, then I'm the man for the job. Prayer is your passport. It allows you and gives you permission to enter into the spirit world. The Bible said, this is the confidence. We got confidence. That if we ask anything according to his will, touchdown, he heareth us. Please notice the secret there. The confidence is based on you and me asking God according to what? His will. So the first clue I want you to take home today, if you want to contact God for yourself, there's nothing wrong to ask somebody to pray for you, but you better pray that they remember your name, because they got a problem of their own too. This is the confidence that we have, that if we ask anything according to his will, we know for sure he heareth us. What do we mean by his will? The will of God is what he determines to happen. He is God all by himself, remember? For your education, you need to know there are two types of will of God. How many types? Number one is what we call unconditional will of God. And number two is what we call conditional will of God. You need to know the two. I'm teaching you now how to pray. Last week, we talked about what is prayer. Today, we are getting down to find out how do we pray. And the Bible says you got to pray according to his will. What do I mean by unconditional will of God? That is what God will do regardless. Whether you pray or you don't pray, he will do it. Whether you agree or you don't, he will do it. There's no condition attached to it. It's the unconditional will of God. It means God will do with or without human involvement. Unconditional will of God. But there is conditional will of God. That is where God will not do until you cooperate with him. And let me tell you, brothers and sisters, most of what you're calling me about, most of what you're writing me about, most of what you show up even without appointment is available to you already. God is just waiting for you to cooperate with him. Ladies and gentlemen, you probably may hear the choir sing from time to time, it's already done. What you are crying about, it's already done. God has already made provision for your healing. He is not trying to heal you. He already healed you. He is not trying to bless you, he already blessed you. He is not trying to make a way, he is already a way maker. So the question is, how do you claim what is yours? And God said, I won't do it until you cooperate with me. Even though your healing is already done, there be no manifestation of it until human beings learn to cooperate with God. Please take note for the record. The number one way for any man, any woman to cooperate with God is prayer. I'm making two statements. Most of what you need right now, most of what you need right now in your life is based on conditional will of God. And the only reason you don't have it is because God is waiting for you to cooperate with him. And the primary way for you to cooperate with God, prayer. That is why Pastor James, in the book of James chapter 4 verse 3 says, you receive not because you don't even know how to ask. You ask amiss. Let me give you another clue to reaching God. Pastor James, a pastor like me, and he's speaking to his congregation in James chapter 5, verse 16. He said, confess your fault one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. You see the condition? When was the last time you confessed your fault to another? When was the last time that you said, today I'm just going to spend my whole day praying for members of this church to be healed? Well, because we do not meet the condition, because we fail to cooperate with God, so heaven still hang on to our healing. Right there in that verse, you see another clue on how to contact God. He said, effectual, fervent prayer of the righteous availeth much. The first clue, I say, pray according to his will. The second clue, your prayer, if you really want answer, is got to be fervent. What do I mean by fervent? It's got to be fiery. You got to be tenacious about it. You got to be relentless about it. I got 5 children. Believe me when I tell you, they can get anything they want. But how they ask, it's going to depend on what you get. If they come to me and they don't get their story together, you ain't getting nothing that day. If they come before me clowning, or they fall asleep while they are talking to me, like many of you do when you pray, your prayer, the one that God said, I failed much, it's got to be fiery. There's got to be intensity. Heaven got to know that you are serious about it. You got to be passionate about it. Oh, God, have mercy on me. Oh, God, have mercy on my child. Oh, God, help me right now. I need you right now. And in case you still don't get it, Pastor James gives you an example of what it means to pray fervently. In James chapter 5, verse 17, he said, remember Elijah? He was just a man like you. But because he prayed fervently, God responded and shut down the whole earth for 3 years and 6 months. One man was able to shut down all of heaven. What is the secret? Fervency of his prayer is recorded in 1 Kings chapter 18, verse 42. The Bible says he prayed so hard that he would not allow voices of discouragement. He put his head between his knees so that he won't hear rumors and gossip on social media. He said, Lord, there is famine now in the land. People are dying of COVID-19. People are struggling financially. Government is laying people off. Companies are laying people off. I've got to have an answer. I just give you a clue. You want to know why COVID-19 is still around? I'll tell you why. We can blame Washington all day all we want. We can blame Baton Rouge all day all we want. But heaven is waiting for somebody to cooperate with God. God is so sure about it. He said, I'm looking for a man who will stand in the gap. And if I can find that man, that woman, I will spare the whole land. It is a shame that we have churches in every corner. And yet COVID-19 is running rampant. Government couldn't stop it. Doctors couldn't stop it. Where is the church of the living God? The Bible says the prayer, fervent prayer of the righteous, availeth much. While Elijah was praying, he sent his servant, go and check and see if there's rain coming. The servant came and said, sorry, Reverend, your prayer ain't working. There's no rain out there. Many of you, you will quit, you will walk out and say, I guess God don't want me to have a husband. You will die single if you think like that. But if you will learn to stay there until you get your result, you will have your husband. You will have your miracle. You will have your healing. Whatever you believe in God for. You know what Elijah says? He said, go back again. I'm not going to live here until it rains. He refused to move. You want to know how to contact God? You'll be amazed how many of you have given up on your prayer. Just because you don't see it, they say, I guess it was not meant to be. But I hear the choir say, he may not come when you want him. But oh, thank God. He's always right on time. Can I get an amen in the house? What am I trying to tell you? If you are dead serious, if you will go after God like Elijah did and don't back down and don't give up, if you want that child, that wayward child, that runaway child to come home, if you see your children going the wrong direction and you want GPS of heaven to slap them back on track, how to do it? You got to pray. You got to pray your way out of difficulty. You got to pray your way out of trouble. Ladies and gentlemen, the secret is that you have to keep praying and keep praying until you get your result, until your change comes. You don't give up. You don't quit. You keep pushing. If you don't believe me, ask any woman that want a baby. It's not enough to get pregnant. But when you get ready to have that baby, You better learn to push. You can't say, doctor, no, I'm through with this. I can't do it anymore. No, push. Push that baby out. Push that miracle out. You got all of heaven to help you. The nurses are there. The angels are there. Heaven will back you up. But you got to do your part. Push. We have too many abortionists in the body of Christ. You are pregnant with a miracle, but you lack the commitment to birth your miracle. The Bible is full of examples of what I'm talking about. You remember Hagar, a slave girl stuck in the desert, her baby hungry, no food. You talk about recession. No government assistance. But she began to cry, a mama's cry to the Lord. She watched her baby crying. And she feel the pain of her baby. I'll be honest with you, I'm sick and tired of you mothers that let your children get away with all kinds of stupidity. Learn how to pray fervent prayer. But how are you going to pray fervent prayer when you are more preoccupied about looking good than the salvation of your children? Hey, don't turn me off. I am on assignment. God sent me here. My brothers and my sisters, the prayer of the righteous availeth much, if it's fervent. You remember Jacob. Jacob prayed all night. He wouldn't let God go. That's what fervency look like. How bad do you really want it? Don't send me an email, and you don't even remember what you sent me. How bad do you want that miracle? Are you willing to stay up all night and cry out to God and say, Lord, if you don't help me, I have nowhere else to go. Jacob wrestled all night. All night. He prayed so hard. The angel of God was trying to get away from him. He hung on to God so bad that he knocked off the socket of his thighs. Paul said, my body bears the mark. I have the scars. I was talking to one preacher one day. I said, when I grow, I want to be just like you. I said, can you drink from the same cup I've had to drink? If I throw you the keys, you better duck. Are you willing to pay the price? What would it cost you? Are you willing to put your life on the line? Hannah wanted a baby. There were many people in the church that day. But Hannah came to the altar, got on her knees, began to pour her heart out to God. He said, Lord, I'm tired of being ridiculed. Lord, I'm tired of being talked about. Lord, I'm tired of seeing everybody with their own children, but I ain't got nothing to show for it. Lord, you know our culture here in the Middle East. If a woman don't have a baby, she's considered no good. I'm tired of being called no good. I want my own baby. The Bible says she stayed right there and pray and pray. Even the preacher thought she's drunk. I'm talking to you about fervent prayer. You can have it. if you're willing to cooperate with God. Peter was arrested. He was a preacher like me. Got arrested. You'd be surprised if I get arrested today. Many of you, instead of praying, you get on social media. Oh, have you heard what happened to the African preacher? The police finally caught up with him. They found a bag of weeds. Now, maybe all they arrested me for was a little joint. Oh, it was a pound of weed. All kinds of rumors. All kinds of lies. The other day I was preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ and I collapsed. Some people got on the social media to laugh about it, to talk about it. Oh, I thank God that God is a God of mercy. You wonder why you are still on hold. You refuse to cooperate with God. When Peter got arrested, the Bible says in the book of Acts, chapter 12, verse 5, the Bible said the church, they didn't gossip about it. They didn't start no rumors. They started to pray. They got in a lockdown in the house of God. They said, we're not going to leave. Lord, we're not going to give up until you get our pastor released. They prayed. The Bible said they offered what kind of prayer? Fervent prayer. Fervent prayer unto God. You want to know why there are no miracles? I'll tell you why. Can't even get some of you to come to church. You come to a musical concert. You come and watch somebody wiggle their booty. But when it comes to praying and making heaven respond to the need of the land, you're missing in action. And then you wonder why we have all this untimely death. The funeral home is so busy. One of my members is in that kind of business. I say, son, I haven't seen you in a while. I say, Pastor, I've been so busy, you won't believe it. People dying right and left. But the Bible says, why will you die before your time? Your passport is prayer. Isn't it funny, though? To tell you how much church folks are funny. They were praying so hard. And then God answered their prayer. Then the pastor showed up. Got released from jail. And then the pastor is knocking. See, I'm here. Oh, they say it's impossible. Why will you pray if you don't mean it from your heart? How are you going to be in agreement with me when you even doubt what we're praying about? I asked you this morning, when was the last time you prayed fervently? Fervently. Many people will pray, and 2 hours later, they don't even remember what they pray about. When you pray fervently, believe me when I tell you, 10 years later, you will remember. Because it costs you something. You put sweat equity into it. You turn off every other distraction. You zoom in heaven. You say, no, I won't let you go until you bless me. Years later, you will remember it. That's why I told you, if you doze off while you're praying, let me help you, let me school you. Your prayer is not fervent. People will tell me, I was reading my Bible and I fell asleep. You're not reading, you're tripping. Folks will tell me, Pastor, I was trying to pray, but I just couldn't hold it together. I dozed off. I was so tired. I worked so hard. I couldn't hold. Fervent prayer means you are praying from your heart. Fervent prayer means you are passionate about what you're talking about. Oh, God, you got to do something. If you don't do something, I'm not going to make it. If you don't heal me, I remember telling God, if you don't heal me, they're going to laugh at you and me. Because I didn't tell everybody about you. That your name is Jehovah Rapha. That you are God that healeth us. I've been telling everybody in the neighborhood, you send your word and heal our disease. You get to a point, you tell God, I need your help. I've got to have your power. I need your spirit, Lord. I need your anointing, Lord. I need your presence, Lord. Lord, if you don't bail me out, there comes a time when your back is against the wall and you begin to plead blood. See, I plead the blood. Have you ever been in trouble on your job? You say, no, I worked too hard to get this job. Ain't no devil going to rob me of this job. Have you ever find yourself desiring a promotion and they skip you? Last year they skip you, this year they skip you. There comes a time when you get sick and tired of being sick and tired. That's when you begin to see, I take authority over everything in this building. I take authority over this company. I take authority over this department. Trying to help somebody. How do you get in touch with heaven? You need to pray. You need to stop making excuses and begin to bind and loose. You take authority over your home. My wife was telling me the other day, "So you got to go get some gasoline." I said, there's something in my spirit that just tells me I don't need it. And she went off on me. She's sitting there. I said, I'm sorry, ma'am. I just don't feel the urge. And while she's still talking, I went to sleep. David said, I lay down to sleep. I woke up in the morning because you, God, sustained me. And I woke up, I asked my wife, I said, how you doing? Is your okay still here? She said, he's gone. I said, thank the Lord. When was the last time you prayed a fervent prayer to God? When was the last time you pray a crazy prayer? We knew of a crazy praise. But when was the last time you pray a crazy prayer to God? No wonder why you're getting nothing. Because you're too busy trying to play safe. You're too busy trying to be politically correct. Lord, if it's your will. We know the will of God. The Bible told you his will. The only question left, do you have the audacity, the willingness? You know what I'm trying to tell you? Prayer is basically hiding in God, not hiding from God. The church is too busy hiding from God. Prayer is like a battery when your telephone is dead. You cannot make any call. You can slap it all day. You can shake it all night until you charge that battery. Nothing will happen. Your spiritual battery is prayer. And can I tell you something? I don't know about your own phone, but my phone, because I talk all day, don't hold that against me. It's the nature of my job, you know. I had a battery that come with the phone, then I got another extra battery. So I got double for my trouble. And yet, every day, that's still not enough. I have to charge my phone. Before I go to bed, I put it on a charger. You know what I'm trying to tell you? Your prayer should not be only when you're in trouble. Every day should be a day of prayer. Ladies and gentlemen, that's why the Bible says, give us this day our daily bread. So I'm encouraging you to learn to pray. Let me end up on this note. Another thing you need to know when it comes to prayer, I understand when you are tired and you can't pray for yourself. I understand it when you're going through and you're so weak to pray. God provide an avenue. Find somebody that you can agree with, so that when you are tired, somebody can hold up your hands. That is why being a member of a church is critical in your life. Many of you, you're so smart, Alec, now. You think you don't need nobody. Pastor, I love you. I enjoy watching you. I enjoy listening to you. But I don't want to deal with all those Negroes. Well, let me tell you, you need every one of them. Because there comes a time when you are tired. There comes a time when you are hurting and you can't go no more. Oh, what a joy to have somebody that can hold your hand up. Peter was tired in jail. The church prayed for him. You remember in the book of St. Mark, chapter 2, there was this gentleman, the Bible said he was paralyzed. He needed healing, but he couldn't help himself. I'm trying to tell you the purpose of church. He couldn't carry himself. He couldn't help himself. But thank God he has some homies. He has some posse in his life. Four of them. He had four friends. And his friends showed up. They pick him up. His friend carried him. His friend got to the house where Jesus is. When they couldn't get in, his friend climbed up the roof. His friend dig a hole in the roof. His friend let him down. He couldn't do it for himself. You need the church. You think you're all that. Some of you, you only show up on Communion Sunday. Who do you think you are? I almost say like I feel it. Every one of us, there will come a time when you will need some people to hold you up, to pray for you, to pray with you. Jesus healed that man. You know what Jesus said? According to your faith. He wasn't talking about the paralyzed man either. Not his faith, but the faith of his church people that brought him, that carried him, that climbed the roof, that dig a hole in the roof. Many of you say, I don't need nobody. Well, I don't want no deacon to come to my house. Sometimes I just want to get in the flesh and slap the crap out of you. If you ever know how to pray, you will find out sometimes you just can't do it by yourself. God don't need no rangers. That's why Matthew chapter 18 verse 19 says, if two shall agree concerning anything here on earth, it shall be done of our Father. Is there anybody in your life you can agree with? Some of you are married, but you won't even pray with your own spouse. And then you wonder why children stay sick. You wonder why your finances are messed up. Some of you, you say, but I'm single. You got children. When was the last time you got all your children and said, we're going to pray? No family. Forget family reunion. We're going to pray. There's some trouble in this family. We got to knock that devil out. I don't need no cake. I need prayer. I don't need no photograph. I don't need no selfie. I need prayer. While the choir is coming, I want to invite somebody to the Lord Jesus Christ. If you think I'm mad at the devil. Because I know we serve a good God. He's bigger than COVID-19. If he can stop the Red Sea, he can stop COVID-19. If he can knock down the walls of Jericho, are you listening to me? If he can stop all the plague in Egypt, 9 of them, he can stop COVID-19. But how is he going to stop COVID-19 when we ring the bell for prayer time and nobody showed up? How is the miracle going to come to pass in your life when you're too tired to pray? You're not too tired to go fix your hair, but you're tired to pray. You're not too tired to have a good time. Lord, help us. If you're watching me and you say, Pastor, I'm the one you've been preaching to, I want God to move in a very special way in my life. I want to see some breakthrough in the life of my children. I want some miracle in my business. I've been working for years. No promotion, no increase. I want God to break out and break through on my job. You're the one that God sent me to. It's time to pray. It's time to tap into the will of God. It's time to pray fervently. Not casually. I want you to, there's a number under the screen. Call that number. There are ministers of the gospel waiting to pray with you. They're not waiting to chit-chat with you. They're waiting to pray with you. Take advantage of that. Sometimes you may not know how to do it yourself. Find you a partner. Those of you who are sitting here in the house, if I ask you, who is your prayer partner? You have Facebook friend, but you ain't got no prayer partner. What you going to do when you're down and you can't pray for yourself? Let me encourage you to give before you leave. Nobody go in the presence of a king without a gift. In Africa, we have kings. We don't have governors and all this stuff. And when I go home, the first place I have to go is the presence of the King. And I don't go empty-handed. If you want God to increase you, the more you give, the more He give back to you. Let me invite you on your way out. The ushers will be there to minister to you. Give as the Lord prosper you. It's more blessed to give than to